The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Now, God's Word, when it's followed, allows us to live a simple, beautiful, enjoyable life. I can tell you that hating people is complicated, and it is hard work. How many of you feel like life sometimes gets pretty complicated? And is there anybody here that's like me, that even if it's not complicated, it doesn't take you very long to complicate it? Human beings have the ability to just ramp everything up to the next level. And I have to remind myself, keep it simple. Keep it simple. What's the simple solution to this? What would Jesus do in this situation? And Luke 18, verse 17, I want you to get this today. Truly I say unto you, whoever does not accept and receive and welcome the kingdom of God like a little child. Pay attention that he said little, because you can see every year that a child gets older, they begin to have the ability also to complicate things. But when they're really little, there's just none of that. He who does not accept and receive the kingdom like a little child shall not in any way enter it at all. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't be saved, but I believe that many people are officially, legally in the kingdom, but they never really enjoy kingdom living because their approach is all wrong. Is it possible that maybe you're mixed up about your approach? Let me show you how Satan gets after even kids as they begin to get very old. We have 7-year-old twin granddaughters. Their names are Angel and Star. And they're very close. They love each other very much. They do have different personalities. One is more aggressive. One is a little more laid back. One's more of a talker. One's a little more quiet. And last week, Star wasn't feeling very good. And so she wasn't sure she was going to be able to go to school. And Angel said to our daughter, Sandra, she said, "Oh, I want Star to be able to go to school." And Sandy thought, "Oh, that's sweet. She wants her twin to be there with her. She's going to miss her." And then all of a sudden, Angel said, "If she stays home sick today, when she goes to school tomorrow, because she was sick, she's going to get a lot more hugs than me." Now, the thing that I thought was amazing was that at 7 years old, the enemy's already got them in that rat race of competition of wanting to make sure that they get as much as everybody else, and they get as much attention as everybody else. And so, see, already the enemy is trying to steal any kind of knowledge of who they are as individuals. And it becomes the comparison and the competition game that I am so fed up with that I can hardly stand it. Not only in everybody else, but when I see it in myself, it's just like, I'm just not going to live like that anymore. And I got over a lot of that a long time ago, but it still keeps trying to creep up into our lives, doesn't it? So that's why we need to hear this kind of stuff over and over and over. So children, little children especially, are simple. They really are very simple. And one of the things that they're very good at is forgiveness. I mean, two kids can be just ready to tear each other's hair out, and 5 minutes later, they're playing together and giving each other their favorite toy. And they forgot all about it. Now, I'm only going to say a little bit about this forgiveness issue, but it is probably still yet one of the biggest problems that we have among Christians. There is just way too many Christians that are mad. And it messes up the plan of God for your life. It steals your peace. It steals your joy. It is definitely not pleasing to God. And when we get hurt or offended or wounded, which we will, if you're going to live in the world, you're going to get hurt. If you're going to get involved with any other human being, there's going to come a time when they are going to disappoint you. If you're looking for a perfect person, a perfect church, a perfect job, you just need to get out of the planet and go float on the clouds somewhere, because it just does not exist. But a lot of the whole hurt and wounded thing is that we get hurt. We get offended. And there is another choice. The other choice is, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to drop it. Why can't we do like what we read about David last night, where when Eliab came and tried to make him feel small and little, the Bible says that David just turned away from Eliab. We need to turn away from some of this stuff that's making us bleed eternally. A lot of the people that hurt you, honestly and truly, they really don't set out to. Sometimes they don't even know they did it. And I kind of learned a long time ago, what sense does it make for me to go around being miserable all day, being mad at somebody that don't even care that I'm mad and they're out having a good time? It's like when I used to get mad at Dave, and you know, this was when I would get mad and stay mad for a long time, and I was not yet obeying that scripture, not to let the sun go down on your anger. And maybe we'd have some kind of an argument during the day, and we'd go to bed at night, and I'd sleep on the seam of the mattress because I didn't want him to touch me, and I'd be cold all night because I was not going to ask him for any cover, and I'd be laying there with all this junk in my head, this bitterness, this anger, this trying to figure this out, and Dave's over there covered up, snuggly, snoring, having nice dreams. Now, I ask you, who was suffering? Dave was able to just let it go, but I had to hang on to it, just keep rehashing it over and over and over. So, I want you to get this as much as possible by me saying it one time, because I don't have time to stay on this all day. Everything that God tells us to do in the Bible is something that will be good for us if we do it. So when you forgive, you're not doing God a favor. You're not even doing your enemies a favor. You are doing something for you. You are giving yourself the gift of freedom. Come on. And honestly, I believe we complicate the whole thought process of that. There's somebody even right here today when I said that, you're like, yeah, well, you don't know what I went through, and you don't know how bad it hurts, and I'm not getting, you know, so there you go again, complicating it. But I feel, and it's not fair. You're wasting your time. God promises to be our vindicator. But God will not do what he promises to do if we don't open the door for him through obedience. If we do what we can do, God will do what we cannot do. So keep it simple. Just let it go. Stop thinking about it. Stop talking about it. Every time Satan tries to drag you back there again, just say, I'm not going back there. I've been around that mountain. I'm not doing that anymore. And the next time you see that person that was rude to you or hurt you or whatever, if I were you, I would just kick the devil in the teeth and I would go right up and give them some kind of compliment. I'm not getting too many hand claps on that one. Now, I'm not suggesting that anybody open the door for abuse. You know, if somebody is abusing you and being kind to them is just going to keep the door open for them to keep abusing you, that's a different situation than what I'm talking about. But the Bible says, love your enemies. Be good to those and do favors for those who have hurt you and wounded you. And you see, the thing that you don't understand, it took me a long time to understand, and probably some of you do understand it, is if somebody would fit into the category of enemy in my life, and I do something kind for them, that is the highest form of spiritual warfare that you can enter into. You know what? I've come to realize, really, truly, people don't know what they're doing. I mean, they honestly, really don't know what they're doing. And you know, my dad sexually abused me for 15 years, and I can tell you that he knew what he did was wrong, But I honestly believe that he did not understand how he was damaging me. He really didn't. He actually was being controlled by an evil spirit of lust, and he just didn't get it. And you know, hurting people hurt people. I want to take you to two little groups of scripture and just show you how the simple thing is just to let it go. Now, you can make a nightmare out of this. I mean, you can hang on to something for the rest of your life, and you can hate and be bitter and resentful and angry and mad and offended. And every time you see the person, you can just cringe inside, and you can talk about them and you can think about them. Or you could just make a decision today: I'm just going to let it go. Does that sound good to anybody? I think I'm just going to do myself a favor and just let that go. And you know what? Maybe you don't even have anything right now, but I can promise you, and I'm not trying to be negative, not too much time will go by and you'll be able to use this message. Job 42, beginning in verse 10. You know, Job just had terrible, 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 tragic things going on in his life. I mean, I'm talking lost everything, boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And so his friends come to comfort him. Have you ever really needed one of your friends to be there for you and they just said the total wrong thing? It's like, how could you be that dumb and breathe? Can you not see at all what I need from you at this particular time? Like, nothing aggravates me worse when I'm hurting than to have somebody preach me one of my own sermons. Oh, that's aggravating. I don't need you to preach to me right now. I just need you to understand I'm hurting and to comfort me. Well, Job had been through a really, really rough time, and his friends just really totally had not been there for him. But let's see what happens. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job and restored his fortunes when he prayed for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And there came to him all of his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before. And they ate bread with him in his house and they sympathized with him. Finally, he's getting what he wants. And they comforted him over all the distressing calamities that the Lord had brought upon him. And every man also gave him a piece of money, and every man gave him an earring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first daughter Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. I'm glad I wasn't her. And in all the land, there were no women as fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. I want you to get this. And after this, Job lived 140 years. Say, after this thing that you've gone through, this thing that you're going through, there's a whole lot of life left. But the quality of that life that is left for you depends on how you handle that thing that happened to you. Please, and not only for those of you in here, for our wonderful television viewing audience, please, please, please remember that there's life after whatever tragic thing is going on in your life right now. Job lived after all that. He didn't just live to be 140. After all that, he lived another 140 years. And God gave him twice as much as he had before. And it all started when he prayed for his friends to be blessed who had hurt him terribly. One more great example, and then we'll move on. Genesis chapter 50, Talk for a minute about Joseph. Young man, had a dream. His brothers hated him because he was daddy's favorite. His dad gave him a beautiful coat, a special gift. And so let's put the scriptures up. So just before I read these, they actually hated Joseph so bad that they ended up selling him as a slave and telling his dad that he'd been killed. And I mean, he ended up being in prison for years, 13 years for something he didn't do. And it was just a big mess, all because of what they did. So now there's a famine in the land. And they sent a messenger to Joseph saying, "Your father commanded before he died, saying, so shall you say to Joseph." His father left a message for Joseph. "Forgive, take up and away all resentment and all claims of requital concerning, I pray you now, the trespass of your brothers and their sin. For they did evil to you. Now we pray you, forgive the trespass of the servants of your father's God." And Joseph wept when they spoke that way to him. Now there was a famine in the land, and actually Joseph's brothers didn't have food. But God had so moved in Joseph's life because he refused to be bitter that he was actually in charge of all the food in Egypt. Listen, no matter how somebody else tries to put you down, God will promote you. I said God will promote you, but he will not promote you with bitterness, resentment, hatred, and unforgiveness in your heart. God will not promote you if you don't forgive. Amen? Okay, let's put this back up and finish it. "Then his brothers went and fell down before him, saying, 'You see, we're your servants and we're willing to be your slaves.' And Joseph said to them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Vengeance is his, not mine.'" I love that. "And as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are this day." Listen, whether you like it or not, that there are times when God will use the evil in somebody else's life to work something good in you. Amen. That doesn't mean that he created the evil, but he will use it to help mature you and help you grow up and help you develop the character of God. Amen. Don't just get in prayer and try to sound spiritual. "Oh, God, help me love the unlovely." We pray a lot of stuff we don't want any more than a man in the moon. Okay, let's go ahead. "Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for and support you and your little ones." So now he turns around and he's going to support them and take care of them. "And he comforted them, imparting cheer, hope, and strength. And he spoke to their hearts kindly. Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. There's life after tragedy. He had a lot of years left after his brothers sold him into slavery. And I'm just imploring you today to become like a little child and just let it go, get it off your mind, forget it, and go on and enjoy the life that you've still got left. Amen. Can anybody make that decision today? And it is a decision. I really want you to understand that. And please, those of you watching by television, understand that you can make a decision. You are a decisive, decision-making person, and you can make a decision. "I do not care how I feel. I am not going to let this destroy the rest of my life. I am going to release this thing to God, and I am going to trust Him to make it right." Now, God's word, when it's followed, allows us to live a simple, beautiful, enjoyable life. I can tell you that hating people is complicated, and it is hard work. Amen. Another thing that we see about children that we could certainly stand to copy is they just believe so easy. I mean, children believe in magic. They believe in fairy tales. They have no problem coming up with an imaginary playmate. They have no problem just kind of believing that there's this other world here and that they can make things up and decide to see things they want to see them and enjoy it. You know, if your life is not so hot right now, why don't you just dream a little? I can tell you what, it'll just make you feel better to dream a little. See, that's our right and privilege as children of God. We can move over into that supernatural realm and we can think things on purpose. We can think what we want to think and you can create a little joy in your own life. How many of you believe children do that? This is a book by John Ortberg, God is Closer Than You Think. I really like the book. I've actually read it about 3 times. Here's just a couple of examples. This is under a little section called, I Can Feel Him Walking Around. A friend of ours have a daughter who said when she was 5 years old, I know that Jesus lives in my heart because when I put my hand on it, I can feel him walking around in there. Now, actually, us more mature adults, we know that was just her heartbeat. That's silly. But that little childlike spirit felt that heartbeat. And you know, actually, she was right. Because your heart beating is a sign that the life of God is in you. And so she said, oh, I know that God's alive. I can feel him walking around in my heart. I think we need a lot more of that childlike wonder than what we allow ourselves to have. I think we can enjoy our lives a whole lot more if we'll just stop being so mature and boring. Be a little more childlike. We need to be more like little children. You know, children easily believe. They believe what they can't see. They believe what their parents tell them. If you tell a child you've got an angel that goes with you everywhere that you go, they're more than likely to believe it. They may even give their angel a name. You never can tell. So many wonderful things the Bible says about simply believing. And I just want to encourage you today that that's a decision you can make. You can decide to complicate this and say, well, how can I know that's true? I don't feel it. I don't see it. Or you can just decide, you know what, I'm going to believe it. You know what, at this point in my life, I would choose to believe what I believe. Even if somebody came along and said, you know, it's really not true, and I thought, you know, you're probably right, I'd choose to believe it anyway just because it makes me so stinking happy. Amen. And you know what? Even if there was some outside chance that I'm being really foolish for giving my enemies, I'm going to do it anyway because it just makes me happy. I'd much rather not be full of hatred and bitterness and resentment. John 11:40 is one of my favorite scriptures. Jesus said, did I not tell you if you would only believe that you would see the glory of God? Can I encourage you today to get out of the complication of your mind and see what's in your heart? See if you can feel Jesus walking around in there. No matter how many years of disappointment you've had, today I'm encouraging you to say, something good is going to happen to me. Something good is going to happen to me. Amen? My life is not going to stay this way because God is good and God is faithful and I've got a breakthrough coming. It's right around the corner. I'm going to get a suddenly. Amen. I told the people I hurt my back about 7 weeks ago and that's one of the reasons why I'm in the chair some, but I've kind of decided I like this chair. I'm going to keep it. I think I've spent enough time running around up here on these hard platforms and going home with sore feet and sore back. So this is going to be a permanent fixture. Amen. My gift is not in me walking around, it's in my mouth. Told them Thursday night they could wheel me out here in a bed and I can still preach. But anyway, you know, it's been very painful. And I mean, I've had like cortisone shots in my back and all kinds of stuff. And it's just not been a fun ordeal. I mean, I can actually say that it's the worst long-term pain that I've ever had in my whole life. Now, the good news is it's a whole lot better than it was a couple of weeks ago. Well, you know, I'm telling you this to say that anytime that you have a long-term situation, your mind wants to start caving in and say, oh my God, what if I stay this way? But see, I refuse to believe that because I know that God is good. I know that God is faithful. And to be honest, if I was in the situation today that I was 3 weeks ago, I don't know if I could do this. So God's been faithful just in getting me good enough to be able to do what I need to do. And I believe with all my heart that by next week I'm going to be even better. And by next week I'm going to be even better. And by next week I'm going to be even better. And I just think it's good for you to know that I'm not just preaching something to you, but I live these things. We also go through things and we get tested and tried just like everybody else does. And you can still be happy. You know, one of the things that I've so appreciated during this difficult time is in these 7 weeks, there's only been twice that I've gotten really kind of down. The rest of the time, God has kept me with a good attitude and a hopeful attitude. And, you know, even that is a gift from God. When you can have something long-term going on in your life, and yet God keeps you hopeful, and you just know that you know that you know that whatever God does, there's going to be an answer. Amen? And I know the time will come when I won't even, you know, hardly remember this. And I'll tell you one thing that difficulty does do for you. It helps you have compassion for other people. And don't think when you're hurting that you can't help somebody else, because I'm proving to you that I can sit here and help you even while I'm waiting on a breakthrough from God myself. And we had a girl at our office that had had a surgery, and she'd been back to the hospital 2 or 3 times, and she was just in horrible, horrible, horrible pain, and they couldn't find out what it was. And a couple of weeks ago, I prayed with her on the phone, and I said, this is what we're going to believe. We're going to believe that in the morning, you're going to be a lot better, and within 24 hours, you are going to be well. And I'm telling you, that is exactly what happened. And when I prayed for her, I was doing well to walk. How many of you are understanding where I'm at today? Amen. So, you know, being a Christian is not all about just having everything perfectly the way you'd like it all the time. It's about trusting God in the storm. You know, there's a beginning of a journey. There's the end of a journey. But oh my gosh, what about the middle? How many of you are in the middle right now? You're somewhere in the middle of your journey. And you know, in the middle, there's very often a lot of storms. And some of those storms are people mistreating you or people coming against you. Or, you know, and how we handle those things are extremely important. So I'm encouraging you that no matter what is going on in your life and no matter how long it has gone on, you need to just say, I believe that something good is going to happen to me. My breakthrough is right around. And I mean, refuse to give it up. Just flat out refuse to let the devil have your hope. Make hope a habit and say, I refuse to give up my hope. Amen? Little children don't have any trouble believing. You say, Saturday I'm going to get you a new bike. Is it Saturday yet? Is it Saturday yet? Is it Saturday yet? I mean, how would you feel as a parent if your child came to you and said, well, I don't believe on Saturday you're going to get me a bike. I don't feel like I'm going to get a bike. I don't have a bike. I don't look like a bike. Let's look at Mark 11, 24. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer. Now watch. Believe. Trust and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Come on, we got to stay. Believe that it is granted to you and then you will get it. Believe that it is granted to you and you will get it. Believe that it is granted to you and you will get it. In God's economy, in kingdom principles, you always have to believe first and see later. That's why it's very scripturally appropriate to say, even while you're still broke, I'm prosperous. Even while you're still hurting, I'm healed. Even while there's all kinds of stuff going on in your home, I live in the midst of peace and I have the most peaceful life that you can ever imagine. Because all of those things are true in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm, that's what belongs to you as a child of God, as someone who is in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, in Christ, we are given every spiritual blessing that exists in the heavenly realm. So everybody say, I'm blessed. All right, and then the Bible talks about believing, and it says those who have believed do enter the rest of God. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him. You say, well, I wish I could believe. No, you can decide to believe. You've decided not to believe, so why can't you decide to believe? That's just like you can smile if you want to. You can frown if you want to. All right. Little children really are not complicated. They don't live their life trying to impress anyone. Now, I told you the other night about how I could complicate what started out to be a simple, little simple party, a little simple barbecue. Say after church on Sunday, hey guys, why don't, you know, maybe just two couples stand there talking. Hey, why don't you guys come over next Sunday after church and we'll do some hot dogs and burgers and get some chips and I'll make some iced tea and we'll just sit around and fellowship. Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, that was good. We can tell that that's simple. That's easy. That's good. But in a week, I could turn it into such a complicated, unbelievable mess. The hot dogs and hamburgers turned into steaks that I couldn't afford. And I'd be mad at Dave all week because he was enjoying his life and not helping me get ready for this party. We had to plant flowers along the patio and paint the barbecue pit and wax all the floors. And I mean, I'm telling you the truth, by the time the people got there, I didn't even like them. I'd be almost mad at them because I had to do all this work to get ready for them. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But you know what all that was really about? It was about me trying to impress somebody. I wanted to impress them. I worried about what they would think. So therefore, I did things I really couldn't afford to do and things I didn't even want to do. The result was I had a miserable week. And the answer was I needed to simplify my approach. Now, some of you can get a lot of the stress out of your life. I mean, you can go home and have one meeting with yourself. You can go home and have one-hour meeting with yourself. And you can get a lot of the stress out of your life just by deciding to simplify some things. For one thing, you ought to go home and clean the clutter out of your house. You get rid of it if you don't need it. You get rid of it if you're not using it. You need to get rid of some stuff. Keep the stuff you love. Keep the stuff that you use. Don't keep a bunch of stuff in case you need it someday. Because when you do need it, you won't know where it's at. I mean, that's the truth. And I finally just thought, you know what? I ain't keeping this because by the time I need it, I won't know where it's at. And then I'll get frustrated because I know it's here and can't find it. So I'm just going to give it to somebody else right now and trust God when I need another one, it'll be there. Keep what you need. Keep what you love. Keep what you enjoy. You know, my barbecue thing, I was a lot like the Mary Martha thing. Only Dave was Mary and I was Martha. You know, Jesus stopped by their house and Martha got overwrought trying to clean things up and impress Jesus. And then she got mad at Mary because Mary wasn't helping her. And she went to Jesus. She said, well, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work? And Jesus looked at her and said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. And he didn't tell her to stop working. He told her to stop worrying. Work is good. It's the worrying that overloads us. And then he said, Mary hath chosen the better part. See, when you let your work schedule control you and manipulate you, you're always going to miss the miracle of the moment. Because there may be some little simple something going on right then that you could enjoy if you would just take the time to do it. Another way you can simplify your life is by keeping one thing on your mind at a time and giving yourself to what you're actually trying to do. You know, multitasking is like really popular in our society, but I don't think it's too popular with God. Because Ecclesiastes says, keep your footing, give your mind to what you're doing. Another thing that you can do, and I believe children are experts at this, is you can enjoy where you're at on the way to where you're going. Because wherever you think you're headed for, when you get there, then you'll be headed somewhere else. Oh, I know. I mean, I used to think, oh, God, if I could just have 1,000 people in my meetings. If just 1,000 people would come. And I remember a pastor telling me, you won't be satisfied. Then you'll want 2 and then 3 and then 4 and then 5. And, you know, really, man does not live by that stuff. He doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Things and more things and more things and more money and more and more and more and more has no ability to make you happy. It's the greatest deception out there. So we keep getting more and more and more and going in debt to have it, and then we're pressured by all the debt, and all we're trying to do is impress other people and impress ourselves, and then we get so much of it that it aggravates us. We can't even clean our house anymore because of all the stuff. Come on. You know, when I was a teenager, I never got confused about what to wear. My closet was like this. I mean, that was, you know, it wasn't a room. It was like this. And I had 7 outfits. Monday you wore this one. Tuesday you wore that one. Wednesday you wore this one. And I think it was even probably simpler back in the Bible days because all their stuff looked exactly alike. But how many of you ladies have actually gotten confused in your closet trying to figure out what to wear on any given day? Change your clothes four. Anybody ever change their clothes 3 times? More than we, you know. You know, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Now listen, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. If you want something, ask God for it. If it's right, know that He'll give it to you. If it's not, you better pray He don't give it to you. He'll give it to you in His time when He's good and ready, and you need to trust that too. And in the meantime, while you're waiting for God to come through with whatever it is you think you want and need, you need to remember to be very grateful for what you have. You know, as human beings, and I fall into this too, as human beings, we are so bad at not being really, 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 it's like we are so blessed that we don't even see it. We really just don't even see it. And this morning, I think God was just doing a little workshop with me, helping get me ready for this. But I just thought, I'm going to pay attention to the best of my ability. I'm going to pay attention and make a big deal out of every little blessing that I have. You know, we make a big deal out of the wrong stuff. Hello? Well, you hurt my feelings. Well, you know, for example, this morning, Dave came in and gave me a little kiss where I was sitting, kissed me on the cheek, and, you know, he smelled really good. And, you know, I thought, oh, God, I'm grateful that I'm not married to a man that stinks. I mean, I'm just really pretty determined to try to give the devil a nervous breakdown. I mean, did you ever thank God that your husband didn't stink? I thought that was kind of cool. And I even told him, I said, you smell good. And, you know, Dave gets himself cleaned up every day, and that's important to me. I mean, that's just, Dave still pretty much looks like he did when we got married, except he's a little bit older. But, you know, he takes good care of himself, and I appreciate that. You know what? We don't make a big enough deal out of little things in our life. And I really think it would add a lot to our lives if we would do that. You know what? Little kids do that. Little kids just think it's the greatest thing in the world if just some little something happens to them. You know, we have four children, and I'm so blessed. You know, most days I talk to all four of my children. And if I don't talk to them, we text back and forth. They all still live in the same city where we do, and we all have great relationships. They're all saved and walking with God. And, you know, what a blessing that is. What a blessing. And you know, there are people who don't have that. Like, there might be one person here today that's just thinking, well, if I just had more money, I just need more money. I don't have enough money. But maybe you've got kids that you're real close to and you love them and you know, you have a good relationship with them. And there might be somebody else sitting in this same building today that, now remember, you have money, but maybe you're thinking, well, you know, I just wish that I had a better relationship with my kids. My kids don't even care anything about me, and they've all left town, and I never see them, and I never hear from them. So you got the money, but you don't have the relationships. And then you got somebody else over here that has maybe four great kids that love them, and they hear from them all the time, and yet they're thinking, well, if I just had more money, then I'd be happy. So, you know, the bottom line is if you don't decide to be happy, you're not ever going to be happy. I don't care what you have. And I'm asking you today to simplify your life on purpose by deciding to look at what you do have and not what you don't have. You know, even some of the days when my back was bothering me, I would purposely think, I'm grateful I can see, I can hear, I don't have a headache, nothing else hurts. I've only got this one little spot that hurts. Everything else feels good. Hallelujah. Amen. But we focus on and fixate on what we don't have, and then we lose sight of everything that we do have. Come on, I want somebody to come full circle today and come back right to the spot where you need to be, which is grateful and thankful and enjoying the life that you have on the way to where you're going. Well, I just wish I had another job. They don't appreciate me. Well, you know, you could thank God you've got one. There's somebody that would like your job. And while you're complaining about your husband, there's somebody that would take him off your hands. Some of you think, well, yeah, let them have him. But you know what, really? He's probably not as bad as what you think he is. You're just looking at the wrong stuff. Hey, be like me. If he don't stink, thank God for that. My husband smells good. I'm really a mess, ain't I? But it's the truth, isn't it? You can simplify your life today by just deciding, I'm going to let go of what lies behind. Come on, what's over is over. Let the dead bury the dead. You go on and be like Job and live another 140 years and enjoy the life that you've got left. Don't let one moment in time determine your destiny. The Christian life was never meant to be complicated. Jesus died. He said, I came that you might have and enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Jesus died so we could live beautiful, simple, enjoyable lives. Amen? And the last thing I'm going to say is you need to start by enjoying yourself, because you're never going to enjoy your life if you don't know how to enjoy yourself.
Well, I wish I was this and I wish I was that. Well, you're not. Well, I wish I didn't gain weight so easy. Well, you do.
So you got to eat less and exercise more. Amen? I've always had a little bit of a slow metabolism. I used to say I think it's in a coma. And I have to be really careful what I eat to stay the size that I am. And, you know, I wish I was one of those people that could just shovel it in day and night and never gain weight, but I'm not. I would have liked to have had long, thick hair. But no, I have to keep mine about that long, and I got to bleach it and dye it and do this and that and put, I got three things on it just to make it stand up as much as it does. And you know, I have a daughter who gets up in the morning, and I'm telling you the truth, she's got this thick, beautiful hair. She gets up in the morning, turns her head upside down, shakes her head back and looks good, and I'm like, I can't stand you. I mean, I get up with a serious bedhead. I'm talking like with everything is over there. Why are we always trying to impress each other? Listen, you know, I look pretty good by the time I get here, but I got to work on this. It takes a while. And you know, you can wish that you had what somebody else has got from now until Jesus comes home, but all it's going to do is make you miserable, and you're not ever going to have what they have anyway. So you need to take what you've got and do the best you can with it from today forward. Come on.
Well, you know, we can all simplify our lives by just following God's word. His word is for our good, and it provides us with the right path to follow. We complicate our lives when we begin to rebel toward God's principles and the things that He teaches us in His Word. So simplify your life. Obey God. The earlier you obey God, the better and the simpler and the more powerful your life is going to be. Psalm 19:8 says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and bright, enlightening the eyes." So just make a decision. If there's any area in your life where you're wrestling with God, why not just say, you know what, God, I think you're smarter than me, and I'm just going to do it your way. Today we're offering a DVD teaching, The Truth Makes You Free, and my book, 100 Ways to Simplify Your Life. I can't imagine why anybody in the world that we live in today that is so complicated would not want to read about 100 ways that you can simplify your life. You know, the way we think about life sometimes is so complicated. The way we approach things in life, the way we approach relationships, even our expectations from other people can be so complicated. Worry is complicated. Reasoning is complicated. I've got a lot to say to you that I can't say all of it here on the program. So why don't you get this book and this DVD teaching and just begin to do your own study at home on how you can simplify your life. Because once again, the simpler your life is, the more you're going to enjoy it and the more powerful that it's going to be. So you get all this information and place your order right away and have the best day of your whole life today.
Need God to speak to you in a fresh way on how to live and what you're living for? Joyce's teaching package, 100 Ways to Simplify Your Life, book, and the Truth Makes You Free DVD, provides easy-to-understand spiritual principles to help you experience a greater level of freedom and enjoy life more than ever before. Get both DVD and book with a donation of $25 or more. Call toll-free 1-800-727-9673. Order today and get ready to be set free.